Mr. Bacon, members of the board, may I also to add to Mr. Griffin, and he wants to maybe verify this, Mr. Griffin, on December 21st of 2021, that application that was submitted, if you open that application up, it was for a different location. So I feel like maybe there's that sort of an issue too, that was an old, that was an old location, was on the 22nd Street.
And when did you move?
In July.
Of?
I believe 2021. Yeah.
So you moved at the time you made that first application?
When I moved, I went in and I did an application and the address is here, 3007 East 22nd Street, on 7/7/2021.
I'm confused. So did she do an application for her location or not?
It was made on, in the same month, and I have that receipt as well.
Mr. Chairman, this is Member Flores. It sounds like this is similar to the other issues with, I went online, I submitted my payment, and then the process wasn't complete. Am I understanding correctly?
But I think this one's got some new weirdness in that there are expiration times that apparently we hit because it took so long. There are a series of inquiries, at least coming into us, if not going out from us, indicating she's wondering why we didn't function.
Do you have an application or do you have documentation that says that the one that you, the application that you submitted that July of 2021 date has the location of 3007 East 22nd Street?
Yes.
Because that, our documents don't say that, right? They say something different.
Mr. Bailey, there's several applications.
Okay.
That are.
Okay. But that same time.
Okay. One, correct. There's one for December 21st of 2021 that was submitted for Ponte Styling Emporium. It's a different address than where they're actually the official address for the establishment.
Okay.
Okay.
I was just trying to determine if one of them was for the.
Do you have any idea why we'd have applications with different addresses?
Yes. I actually, I applied for, before moving to the new place, I applied, but I was at the old location. So then when I didn't get a response from Felipe regarding that application, I have already moved. So she was saying, oh, you don't put the old address, you put the new address. So that's when she said, she sent me an application again, and I put the new address. Then she told me it was something about a filing number. Then a new application, I did it again. I've done like 6 applications. Be honest, thank you. And have not been able to get anybody to help me or explain to me what's wrong.
But you didn't have Mr. Griffin.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, the barbershop license is currently active. It should not be associated with the 3007 East 22nd Street address that she's referring to.
Is it associated with a different address where she was? Or?
I believe this was the previous or former address, yes.
Yeah.
And
so there was a barber license as well?
Well, this, yeah, and that looks like it does have the right address, or the new correct address where you're currently residing, which is still 3007.
Okay.
Because it'd be like a Salesforce. I know Salesforce is better than it's new.
Point of information, I don't understand when they say she failed the inspection, she didn't have the barber side. You know, as a barber, when we first come into a shop, you want to be impressive, you know? So I had a gallon of it. So I don't know if that counts. As I'm in the shop, does that count for the shop?
Okay.
It sounds like if you guys need to see it in the bills, just correct me on this one.
it needs to be in the building for Cosmo.
Yeah.
So it can't just be in the jar, it also has to be, they have to be able to see what was poured in it with the labeling?
That's correct.
On the Cosmo, okay. So, because, you know, on the barber's side, I see what he's going at, it was in the building, technically it was in the building.
In the building.
It's in the building.
In it, you can see it, I had it, you know, had, I have a knife, so. It's worth, you know, you only need a little bit, you don't need the, I don't need the whole gallon, but.
When I did the inspection, there were no barbicides set up. She didn't have any barbicides, she had a ship shake. And if you're familiar with ship shake, that's just a cleaner, kind of eats the hair away. She didn't have a barbicide, she said she uses a ship shake. Now, there was a little bar, a little, you know, little glass jars at his station, but there was no way that would have even been big enough to completely submerge any type of hair tool other than the scissors or combs or whatever. And I did not find, and I asked for a jar, bottle, gallon of barbicide.
And that's the sample bottle, and it's still there today.
Okay.
Also, I heard earlier that one person, they had it in the jar, but that wasn't enough. So I would have failed if I didn't have it, right? So obviously I did have it.
She said you had it.
Right, in the jar, but she's saying that I didn't have the container, which I know I did.
Well, nor did the whole swamp.
Right, so the whole line, because if in, you know, it's one building, it's one room. And so if there's barbicide needed, I have more than enough inside the building.
So the question I have for the inspector, what you're saying is she was set up performing services, but she didn't have the wet disinfect. She was using ship shape, not a wet disinfect.
Yes, Mr. Bailey, that's correct.
Okay, so you did not see any, so she's saying is it was in the building, but technically you didn't have it set in the jar, if I'm clear, correct?
It was not a wet disinfectant set up for the salon.
For the salon section.
He had a small glass, whatever you call it.
Right. The barbicide jars, okay, I got you. So she's saying that it is, but you can't, technically what she's saying is she can't claim yours for the whole salon.
Right, so if it's not inside that jar for the salon, that's the problem?
That is,
what I'm saying is that.
I think your jar just wasn't.
I have my own jar in the refiller.
You got it.
The refiller.
You were good.
For the whole shop.
Right.
So if it's not in this jar, it doesn't count.
I think your jar wasn't big enough for the entire salon, is what she's saying.
But we had our own jar as well.
So you had a jar filled?
I had a jar filled, but it didn't have the disinfectant.
That's what she did before, but not having actual barbicide in her jar.
Okay.
Because normally, what I'm getting is, they, on the Cosmo side, they need to have the actual jar, and it needs to be filled, and you need to be able to see, let's say this is the wet disinfect, it there so she can read it to say, yes, this is what's in here. Okay. So she's not saying that it wasn't in the building, she's just saying that technically you didn't have it in the jar. That's all.
For the people on the phone, the application that was provided to us that showed the address, it was from July 2021, but it looked like it was having the Secretary of State, like, what is that, business filing number or something that never came through. So that, like, issue that we've seen with the Secretary of State.
Is it an application? No, it's Secretary of State trade name, registration.
So that was the holdup on that one, I guess. And it was in July of 2021 when there were issues with communicating possibly this information back. So just wanted to let you guys know that that's what that document was that they were talking about.
Great. So the only other issue, because we kind of established it, was established that was something in the system. Did you have a barber license?
Yes.
You were there licensed?
Yes.
Okay, she just didn't have an establishment, but you did have a barber establishment license. It was all both caught in the system. Okay.
Yes. If I may, Mr. Bailey, Mr. Knott, she has a barber establishment license for Poppy's,
mm-hmm.
but it's at a whole different location. So therefore, the current location is unlicensed as a barber establishment as well.
Gotcha. The new establishment.
Correct.
Yeah. But she had applied to Trent. You applied for both.
I cannot see that, Mr.
That's what I need to see.
For the barber.
You applied for the barber at the new location?
I have both of my receipts for my salon.
Did I see that in the address?
I think that's absolutely correct, but I think the issue was that
She doesn't work.
July of 2021 was around that time where there wasn't a lot of communication back and forth, or it got stuck, or they never knew that there was a registration number. That was before Frank was here and helping to clean everything up, so.
Recognizing that.
It was a different time then. Like, it's not like this happened like 2 months ago where we are talking to people more regularly.
I can just tell you guys, honestly, Sydney Way is horrible. It's been very difficult, for me as a salon owner to even get licensing, Sydney Way. The old way was simple.
Just to stop you real quick, it is a new, it's a newer way. In that sense, Frank McGalley's come on as the director. It was a lot of cleanup time. So I know what you're saying, where it was kind of, everything got merged, but now there's a way better system implemented. So it should be moving. If you try to apply now, once we get it all squared away today, it should move way quicker, way simpler, even the wait time on the phone.
I have hope.
Way better.
I have hope, but I've been very patient.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, yes, I think that's an excellent point. Marshall and Trista both made this, at least the initial part of this was back in July of 2021. Even our current licensing specialist that works those licenses actually wasn't even doing them at that time. It was a different person at that time that's not even within the organization anymore. The way that this application process that you're talking about, it changed. It is no more as of June 1st.
We all know that.
Changed that. Like there's all of, there is a lot of change. I would like, my final point, let's kind of, maybe let's bring it back to the concerns at hand. And I think there is a licensing, what I have heard is that there is the licensing side, and then there was the disinfectant side. So I do think there's two paths based on where we're at, based on this conversation.
Right. In the disinfectant, we recognize that.
What is the fine for the disinfectant?
Whatever you say.
I'll ask a question now. What order is that it has to be inside the jar, not in the building? Like, what order is that?
The jar, the issue is the jar has to be big enough for all the tools. And it certainly was big enough for your tools, but it wasn't big enough for everybody's tools.
Right. So she has her own jars, right? And I had my own jar.
If she had had your disinfectant, then we wouldn't be talking about it.
Right. So what I'm not understanding is, What order is that it says that it has to be inside the jar in the building? If there's no dirty utensils, she wasn't performing services at the time.
She prepared for work.
And your stuff is in the building, but it's not in the jar yet. So I don't understand at what point in time does it go wrong?
It comes into the point, are you prepared to work? Were you able to take a client? And if so, you have to be prepared for that client. So you would have had to have a disinfectant ready as a part of being prepared by the client.
If I may, it's in our Arizona Administrative Code R410.112 Infection Control and Safety Standard that covered wet disinfectant container that is set up with disinfectant solution at all times the establishment is open.
Yes, ma'am.
You were right on the edge of it. This is an inch different.
Right. So the licensing be able to be resolved? Is that?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we will certainly work with these individuals when they contact the office outside of the board meeting to determine like the next steps. This has been, I will clearly acknowledge this is a situation that has gone on way too long. And we will, and Mr. Griffin will personally handle this one moving forward. Sorry not to put both of them on the spot, but Mr. Griffin will personally handle this to make sure that we get all of the licensing things. We're not going to be able to provide specific answers to the board today because there's been payments made. There's been certain situations that are now more than 180 days. There's a number of nuances to this that would take us probably another hour to figure out in this board meeting. So, but I can assure the board that we will work through whatever we need to do to get this taken care of from a licensing standpoint.
It sounds like this is called up, they can get it corrected.
They just can't operate until the license comes through. I mean, I think we can move forward as we've done similarly with other cases today. I don't think it needs to be continued and make them wait.
So we need a motion?
I'll move that we accept the findings of facts and conclusions of the law.
Second.
All right, a motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 We agree this happened.
Is there previous history?
No.
Then I would make a subsequent motion that, based on findings of facts and conclusions of law and board parameters, that we issue a disciplinary letter of concern for the disinfectant issue.
I second that. Brandy Flores.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
You're opposed?
Aye.
At what stage? All right, so in that last vote, is there anyone who voted against that letting it go?
No, so we're going to issue a disciplinary letter for them.
Aye.
So then apparently unanimously, though I couldn't tell.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we need to clarify that motion because there's actually two licensees attached to this case. Are we issuing, so we may need to rescind that previous motion and start over because there's, we have two licensees. We have two individual licensees attached to this case. So is it two disciplinary, I think we need to determine if it's who the disciplinary letter of concern is being issued to or both.
Okay, and his is about the performing in a non-licensed salon for him, right?
Yeah, and I'm still okay having that be a disciplinary letter. Just so we have record of it.
Yeah.
I think they've tried to do everything in their power, but having record of it is.
Okay, so procedurally, I think we need to rescind the prior motion.
Okay.
That's step one.
Well, I rescind my prior motion and then I'll make a new motion.
All right. Before we make a new motion, question. So the issue about the license, I get it.
So, sorry, Marshall. We need to finish the vote on the rescinding of the motion and then we can go back into deliberation.
Are we rescinding the motion too? All right. So I second where you rescind the motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, that's done. Unanimously, we agree that we're not doing that.
And then, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. So you're rescinding both the disciplinary letter of concern and the findings of facts and conclusions of law.
I was not rescinding the findings of facts
and conclusions of law. Only the penalty.
I was keeping findings of facts and conclusions of law.
Okay, well, if you're going to make a decision on to go against either one or both of the licensees, if you're going to split it, then you may have to, because the way your motion would stand right now for the findings of facts and conclusions of law, it would be against both licensees.
That's what I was intending.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Then that's perfect. Then you can make the disciplinary against whichever one.
Yeah, I just want to have records of it. So I would move then that we, based on the findings of facts and conclusions of law, hand down the following disciplinary action, a disciplinary letter of concern, both for license number 1080089 and BAR002267.
And I second that again.
Right, because he technically didn't have a working unlicensed slot.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. Anyone opposed? All right, that passes unanimously. All right, so at the end of all this, we're issuing a disciplinary letter of concern, which just makes a record in the file that this whole mess happened. In case it happens again or something, we'll know that, but that's it. No fines are involved. And if you go back to this nice gentleman right there, he is going to fix this because he is really good. He is going to fix this license thing for you.
Oh, okay.
He's a master.
Okay.
But, yeah, yeah. I haven't been able to work since September 15th.
I was going
to
say.
With the economics, I have a family. And I like work. It's really hard that, like, it's been months for me to work and to be able to provide for my family. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Darnay is amazing.
A long time.
And he,
a long time. We want you to work.
I'm certain he will get you through this process and you'll be able to work.
He's so amazing. Look how uncomfortable he is.
He's
amazing.
Yeah, so.
So we will.
You can't work until you get it, but I know right. that he will. I know that he will help shepherd you through the process.
We will do our best to
get you.
There's another thing with the barber license. I just want to make sure this gets done so we don't have a problem again. But I never got a link.
So he's going to contact you subsequent
okay.
to the meeting, most likely on Monday.
So Darnay,
yes, we're going to get all of this squared away for you. You're going to be your single point of contact. He will contact you directly, and this will all, we will work through this process.
And when will we expect that contact to happen? Yes. That work for you?
Yes.
All right. You're in good hands.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for helping us figure this out.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, this got all screwed up. Get to work, make some money, be happy. Yeah. I didn't think anything now. All right, our next case is number 10, our case number 82063. Vlad the Barber, PBE 02095, Vladimir Diego David, owner, BAR 002050. If you're on the phone, star 6. Again, our case number 82063, Vlad the Barber. Anyone connect to that case, star 6. All right, hearing no response, I move that case number 82063 move forward to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can reach agreement on the consent agreement they were offered before that time.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Apparently that was unanimous. And we'll move that forward. Our next case is number 11, INSP-083749, Certified Barbershop, BBE 002043, Arnoldo Martinez Cota, VAR 004226, star 6 if you're on the line. Certified Barbershop, anybody on that round here? Star 6. And no response, I move the case number INSP-083749. Move forward to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree to the consent agreement they're already offered before it makes a formal hearing.
I second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Brandy, you still there?
Aye.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, I was just missing you. Our next case is number 13, our case number 98070 and 98071, Posh Room, SNT 18386 and SAES 19562, Ben Nguyen, license 597-00625, and Lana Tran, 31000500 and 5981906 4. Polish Room. Anybody available from Polish Room? Case number 98070. Star 6 if you're online. Hearing no response, I move that cases number 98070 and 98071 move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree to a consent agreement they've been offered before that happens.
Second, Marshall Knox.
Motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. That was unanimously passed. We move on to the next case number 14, 98076, Smart Style 11041, license number SCOS 32719. Serapi Arizona LLC is the owner. Radica S. Reddy, general manager. Wednesday Kenworthy 11601944, manager. Anybody here from that case 987-98076? All right, hearing no response, I move that case 98076 move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree to the consent agreement they're already offered before that happens.
I second.
Motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
That's unanimously agreement. So we're on to the next case. Next case number 15-98129, Allison Campbell, 522-00244. Allison Campbell, star six if you're on the line. Allison Campbell, case number 98129. Hearing no response, I move the case number 98129 move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree to the consent agreement they already offered before that happens.
I second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right.
Aye.
So, unanimously agree that's what we're going to do. Next thing up, number 16-98131, Tong Ho Van Vu Din, 515-00032, case number 98131, star six if you're on the line. Mr. Din, hearing no response, I move the case number 98131, move to a formal hearing unless the parties involved can agree to the consent agreement they already offered before that happens.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Unanimously agreed, we're going to do that. Now, next case is number 17. Our case number 98132, Tiana D. Dang, 31200294. Star six if you're on the line. Ms. Dang, case number 98132. Hearing no response, I move the case number 98132 move to a formal hearing, unless the parties involved can agree to the consent agreement they already offered before that happens.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Beautiful. Unanimously, we agree that's going to happen. That wins that part of the event. Now we're at part number eight. That's part of every meeting in the executive director's report.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So before I get started my report, I wanted to see if there were any bets to our timing today so I can see how long I drag out my report.
I don't think Jerry and I had a bet today on the timing. So
yeah, I would have
lost.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, he would have lost, but there was no
wager. With that said, I will make sure I drag this out as long as possible. I'm still not sure how I feel about my report being at the end of the meeting because I feel so rushed to get you guys out of here.
Take as much time as you want.
I will, in complete transparency, I do have quite a number of items for you this month. I'm going to actually start with some good news and general announcements, which I hope to be able to, I was thinking about it. I actually want to start more of my meetings this way with some good news. We tend to get bogged down throughout this, but anyways, I'm excited to share that we got the written practical examination translation project across the finish line. And beginning May 30th, applicants can now apply to take their written practical examinations in Spanish should they choose. That was something that unfortunately started last summer, but this is a huge, huge win, particularly for our schools who are accredited and have certain requirements to meet their accreditation standards. So this is a big win. We did do communication to schools about this at that time. I have I took a quick look this morning in our testing system, in the testing system with ProMetric. I think I see maybe four or five that are scheduled to take it in Spanish at this point, but it's very new at this point. So I will continue just to keep an eye on those numbers, kind of check from a demand standpoint if it adjusts anything at this point. And certainly, as we get passing results on that, I will add that to the testing results data when we get there. Additionally, as alluded to multiple times throughout the meeting today, I am excited to share the successful launch of the application payment portal project. On the evening of June 1st, our application and payment portals were relaunched, and the application and payment process are now all in one. There is no more two-step process where applicants made a payment and then received an email notification from a random email address asking them to complete an Adobe Form application. As of today, we are successfully processing applications more timely and with significantly less incomplete applications. Additionally, based on...
Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you. Additionally, based on feedback we received during public comment at the April board meeting, we now offer our annual school renewals with this process, eliminating the need to mail physical applications and checks. Additionally, we made adjustments to the renewal application, reducing the burden on schools while remaining compliant with current administrative code. My sincere appreciation goes to Isabella Lugowski for spearheading this project and getting it across the finish line over the last number of months. It is a strong representation of our vision of providing quality and timely service through world-class customer care. Say what? Just on the Cosmos side for now. Sorry. Thank you, Kelly. Barberside is, all of those applications are done in the Salesforce system already. So in this case, the Salesforce system is actually better on the Barber side. But many of the issues we heard today will no longer be occurring after June 1st of this year, based on this. That's the important part, right? So subsequently, I've not spent a lot of time, actually I've spent, I don't think I've even referenced this in a board meeting over the last year. So as you all may be aware, we have a statutory obligation pursuant to House Bill 2029, which was the Barber Cosmetology Consolidation Bill, to submit a report to the President of the Senate, Speaker of the House, and Secretary of State on November 1st of 2023. The report is required to identify what is unique to each profession, study the fee structure, and determine whether a reduction of instruction hours is necessary. I'm excited to share today that we have hired Evan Diamond, who is sitting in the back of the room, as a summer intern to support the research and drafting of an initial report. Evan has been here 2 weeks and he is dancing circles. He's actually working too fast, I would argue, because I can't keep up with the draft that he has already started to prepare on this. Evan's in the room with us today. So our sincere appreciation to Evan for being here today, just to learn a little bit about the board process and some of those types of things. And I'll jokingly say to Miss Mona Baskin that Evan is actually starting law school in the fall. So he may give Mona a run for her money at some point in the future.
Quick question. What are, so we're looking at to lowering the hours for what?
We're not, at this time. It's just doing a study to bring it to the board to have that discussion. So we're trying to do, there's differing, as an example, there's differing hours between cosmetologists and barbers and hairstylists and barbers and everything else. So it's trying to compile all of that information into one.
So
to
determine, looking at the
some adjustments need to be made.
I think it was like a nationwide study too, what other states. So it's like all of that.
Since you brought that too, we're actually currently, the big thing that we identified this year is, because we can't really do like nationwide, that would be a crazy project, but we're trying to identify a methodology to do a comparison with other states. So similar population size, similar licensing size, you know, some of the demographic type things to see if we can get to, you know, some state representation, because I don't think it's fair to compare us to Florida or New York as an example. So trying to just find out at least one methodology for comparison. So there's no actual conversation about reduction of hours at this time. And that would actually have to be sidebar, that would actually have to be done legislatively to change anyways. So it's not a thing at this time. Finally, since Rosa likes to tell me I like to talk about myself, I was actually really excited last week and fortunate to participate in a podcast interview with Sam Harden of GL Solutions, who is our current IT solution provider on the cosmetology side, to discuss how this organization has successfully driven change over the last year with a focus on the return on investment on our IT changes. So the example that I used throughout the 30-minute interview is really about how we adjusted to the self-print licenses and how that in postage alone is saving our organization $60,000 a year. So really took a great deal of time to talk about that. It was different. I have never participated in a podcast, but it was a pleasure to discuss the multitude of successes this organization has made over the last year. Our financial update. As always, I have placed full copies of our financial statement summaries in the shared drive, which you may wish to look at in more detail. For the month of May, our revenue was $208,000. Our expenses were $298,000. For May, our barbering and cosmetology fund balance was $15,357,644, which was a $91,564 decrease over the prior month. I'm also happy to share this month that through May, so all the way through May 31st, which is 92% of the calendar, the fiscal year, the organization is 91% expended of our appropriation amount. And based upon our internal projections, we will have less than $5,000 remaining at the close of the fiscal year, as compared to last year where we had approximately $245,000 remaining. This ensures that we don't continue to build this cosmetology. Number one, it ensures that we don't continue to build this cosmetology fund, but it also allows us to now make an argument that we are in fact spending our appropriation and we would like to do A, B, and C to improve efficiencies and potentially have that conversation with the governor's office and the legislature to open up additional appropriation for the organization. Next up, our testing data on our written practical examinations. For the month of May, we had 600 candidates tested on the written practical examination. It should be no surprise that it's that high. It's a graduation month. We did have an 81% passing rate. You can see each of the practical examinations there. Obviously, as we have information on the Spanish practical test, we would be adding that here as well. We do have 903 candidates that have scheduled a day two test from June 5th to November 18th. 477 of those are written practicals, 426 were theory. When I wrote this slide, we only had one Cosmo written practical in Spanish, which was scheduled on June 6th. Since I just took a quick glance this morning before the meeting, we've had that additional handful that have scheduled a test at this time. All of that to say, I think we're doing very well on the testing front at this time. We do still have the instructor and hairstylist practical examinations that are hands-on. I have submitted the request to NIC to develop those tests. I did receive an update this month from NIC that their board will not be voting on our request until the October in-person meeting in Albuquerque. Which I will be in attendance. I plan to be in attendance at. So all of that to say, I had hoped to be able to have that launched in October. I'm now hopeful that it will launch in this next fiscal year. Next up, all of our licensing functions remain current with the exception of the establishment licensing. Unfortunately, we do continue to struggle with a backlog of establishment licensing. We are currently, as of Wednesday of this week, the 14th, 33 business days behind. As a result of the continued slippage of this work, Kelly and Bruce conducted additional problem solving this week to find ways we can improve the issuance of these backlog establishment licenses. They have established a new plan and are adjusting some staffing resources to provide additional support to this work. I want to assure the board that this leadership team continues to track this on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, Kelly's been in that tracking sheet looking at it this morning during this meeting. And it is our a key priority for before the next board meeting to get that number down as low as possible, because many of those applications that are we are currently 33 business days behind on are in that old process, where that old two-step process, we really want to get those cleared so we can get everybody to the new process, because our preliminary run of some of those numbers is we can turn the applications around in the new process in like 2 days. So really, really trying to do that, which I ad-libbed what my next comment was. On the payment matching where you see a red metric, this is actually a direct result of the transition to the new payment portal process that we talked about. There were some hiccups and understanding of this payment batching, which I'll be very candid and transparent in this room. I'm still really confused by the need for this process, but we determined this week that we do need to continue to do that process until we can figure out some other IT infrastructure items. I was unable to check, but I would argue the employee that does this payment batching has actually probably already caught up on that. So we shouldn't be behind anymore on that one. Next up is our 2022 establishment backlog. If you recall, I shared with everybody back in, I believe it was February, that we had identified 628 incomplete applications from 2022 that nothing had been done with. Here is the progress on that. I'm very happy to report that this project is at 51% complete. It's important to note that I don't think we will ever be 100% complete on this project, because there will just be people that don't end up taking their licensure or have gotten their license or have subsequently submitted another application and received their licensure. So our goal right now is to get this to 80%. An 80% completion rate on this is success in our mind. The big key change from last month on this is that we did increase the number of applications issued to applicants, licenses issued to applicants from the prior month. I think we've issued an additional, I think it was like 25 applications since last month. And then we continue, Darnay, our fabulous, awesome, amazing Darnay. He's very uncomfortable when we say that, if you look at him. is doing amazing work on this and continues to just click away each day, driving a little bit on that list to get it as complete as we possibly can.
So it does address our issue for those who applied and did not receive communication from the board in the previous year. Darnay is sending out at least 3 email attempts to try to get them to either apply, get the missing information back to us, so we are addressing that.
Our customer care update, I appreciated somebody, I don't remember which board member it was, in one of the cases that we heard today, referencing the customer care team, and that we do in fact answer the phone. So people who are saying that we don't, it's just important. The data, the objectivity does not play that out. So for the month of May, our call center actually received a lot of phone calls at 3,116. Our average wait time for the month of May was 7 minutes and 14 seconds. I don't like that, but honestly, considering we had 3,000 people call us, I feel like 7 minutes is really good. Our overall target at this time remains 8 minutes. We additionally received 480 email inbox inquiries, and all of those were responded to within less than 24 hours. I do want to stop and celebrate the customer care team at this time for their continuous improvement of these numbers. Again, remarkable numbers from 1 year ago to today. And I think it's important to note that in the month of May, we were missing a customer care team member that actually continues to be on FMLA at this time. And so we've only had 2 of our 3 primary people on the call, and we've also had our amazing Darnay has supported that work as well as Felipe. So we to try to help cover, but again, primarily it's only been 2 people on the phone. So once we get 3 people back on the phone, I'm really excited to see what we can do with these numbers. I have a strategic goal. Kelly's going to elbow me because I wasn't supposed to say it, but I'm too excited. I really, my goal for 1 year from now for that team is that we have a 10-minute interaction time. Interaction time will be defined as wait time and how long it takes us to answer their question. Right now, we're at 12 minutes. I'd like to be at 10 minutes a year from now. That's right. So that's
I will put in, the team has done amazing work for our wait time. We do have some of our longest wait times. So this is an average. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of instances where it's maybe an hour. So people are choosing, however, to wait that long because we did implement the callback function.
Yes. Okay.
So that they can choose, they don't have to stay on the phone. We will call them back.
And to Ms. Shepherd's point, we don't currently have a way in our reporting. We're looking at future options for this, but we don't actually have a way right now to determine if that was a callback or if that's somebody who literally sat there and listened to the elevator music for an hour. Yes.
But just anecdotal, one of my staff called and one time she was on there for a half hour and the next time it was like 8 minutes.
Yep. And also when they call, the message on the messaging tells them what the current wait time is. So they can choose. So our customers, our licensees that call us are being given options to whether they want to listen to the elevator music, receive a call back, et cetera.
I'm super impressed by this. Every time I call the pharmacy, it takes me like 45 minutes to get hold of somebody. So I'm happy with how we've trended here.
Yeah. And I think Ms. Flores, did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate the team and say excellent work. I think the customer care aspect is so important because it's most licensees only interaction with this regulatory agency. So for it to be continuously improving and wait times to be down and emails to be responded to, it's really fantastic. So good work, team.
Thank you.
And I do believe as we continue to improve on our application process with the portal and the payments and the application, it will also reduce the number of calls we see coming in asking for application status updates.
Yeah. So on one hand, as excited as I am about this, I don't like the 3,000 phone calls. For the size of organization that we are and the fact that it's 2023 and that we continue to receive 3,000 calls a month, it's kind of mind-boggling to me because for me, and maybe it's generational, but for me, I would never call an organization. I'm going to email them. I'm going to do everything to not call them. But I think I referenced actually on the podcast last week that we're undergoing cultural change internally, but our internal cultural change also is going to require an external cultural change, right? Our customer base culture is going to change. They're accustomed to just being able to call, maybe not with good wait times, but they call and get their answer. So it's just adjusting. It's what we've got FAQs on the webpage. We're at some point when we get really good, we actually have a chat option. People can start chatting us. We haven't implemented that because we're not ready for that, but it's there. It's available. Thank you, Brandy, for the feedback. Arizona Administrative Code update. So I do know that we had initially planned to have a more in-depth conversation in this month's meeting, but we do continue our work with Arizona Rules LLC, Jeannie, also known as Jeannie Hahn, who is working on additional consolidation where appropriate. Of course, this is being done within the board's vision of a health and safety focus. Also, our staff subject matter experts led by Kelly are working towards the initial draft of the eyelash extension registration regulatory requirements. I know Kelly shared with the board earlier this month an initial set of draft rules. I do need to reiterate that these rules are in draft. They are draft rules. And a number of items have actually already adjusted from the time that those were sent. It is important for me to remind board members that these are draft and not ready to be shared with the public. The rulemaking process incorporates public input, and that will occur in the coming months and will be prominently displayed on our webpage as required by the rulemaking process. I do need to share that over the last several weeks, staff have been fielding a significant amount of inquiries due to misinformation and rumors swirling in that licensing community. There were Facebook posts within aesthetics groups about this eyelash stuff where the information was pretty much not accurate. There was one piece that we could maybe view as accurate, but it caused me, like we had an entire team of people that spent an entire day last week dealing with the misinformation. So I just want to make it clear that it's a draft. And frankly, it would remain an attorney-client privilege because our Assistant Attorney General is a part of those conversations. So please, my ask is to make sure that we are not sharing those outside. They will be public. I want to be clear. We're not trying to not be transparent, but the legislation hasn't even taken effect yet, which brings me to my next slide. Oh, actually, I didn't say yet. We do plan for a July review and discussion with the board. It's a plan. We hope to make that happen. That said, we will need to plan on the meeting being a little bit longer. So as we talk about next month's meeting, we will do that. And was there a question?
So misinformation got out about the eyelash thing. I don't understand where. Would the implications be that somebody shared something they shouldn't, or?
Yeah, the implication is that it's public relations nightmare. Because people are freaking out that there's certain requirements that actually aren't there. One of the things was that there was going to be a requirement around instructors and what the instructor process looks like. How do you become a licensed eyelash registration instructor, which is not, we hadn't even had the conversation yet at that point because the statute actually doesn't allow for an instructor. So that's just one example, but there were three or four in this one particular post that made it to us that was.
So someone's just making up this stuff? I'm just curious.
Similar when testing was being changed, where we're going to do what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And there were posts that said that new testing would be done over Zoom. That you would call it on a Zoom call and they'd ask you questions, and that's how you do your testing.
Which was inaccurate, obviously, being done at testing.
I mean, and there's always going to be. Okay, yeah. I was just checking if there was like some sort of, I'm like.
Yeah. There's pot stirrers out there, what I'll say, and not me in this case. Boom, boom, boom. So I did get all of those. Next up, legislative update. On the legislative front, there has been no movement since our last meeting. We have had four bills that directly impact our work that were passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. One of those being the eyelash technician registration, House Bill 2550. Additionally, actually, I think this happened a day or two before our last board meeting, but I did not provide a report last month due to timing constraints. The governor has signed state fiscal year 2024 appropriations bill, SB 1720. This budget does include a $200,000 increase to our appropriation over the projected amount. Our state fiscal year 24 appropriation will be $2,915,500, which is it's just shy of $100,000 more than it is this year, but our appropriation was actually supposed to go down because our IT work was supposed to be done. And so they adjusted. We were supposed to be at 2715 and we're going to be at 2915. So we're working on what those projections look like for this next year and we'll take that there. Overall, the legislature does remain in session, but they are in recess. I just read this week they're in recess until August, July 31st. Yes, August 1st-ish is what I think I read, which is different and interesting. So as an example, these four bills, actually only three of these bills, take effect on the general effective date. Well, the general effective date is defined as 90 days after the legislative session ends. So now, as an example, this eyelash technician bill, House Bill 2550, the earliest it would take effect at this point is November 1st. So I need the public, if there's anybody left here in the public, there's nobody in the room, I'm not sure on the phone, I need the public to understand we're not hiding anything. But we don't even have an effective bill at this time. Finally, our next six board meetings, July 21st, August 18th, September 15th, October 20th, November 17th, December 15th. None of those are any significant holiday issues related to those. We're post breaks, if you will, or we're post or pre-breaks, so there should not be any issue with any of those dates. I do want to point out that there will be an agenda item for the July 21st that there will be board leadership elections. There has not been any elections of board leadership positions within the boards in my time here. So I'd like to formalize that and we'll make that a standard operating procedure, if you will, each July that we do those. So we're going to start that this July, next month, and we'll go from there. With that said, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I will turn it back to you.
Great. Appreciate all the new information, and I really appreciate all that progress. So we're up to the next part, which is a call for public comment. I'll read this in case anyone wants to do that. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number of minutes on any given public matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. Pursuant to ARS 38431-01H, the board can only take action on matters listed on the agenda. Action on public comment matters that are not listed on the agenda will be limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule a matter for future discussion at a later date. Is there anyone who wants to address the board?
Motion we adjourn.
I think Ray wanted to say something, but
no, he's not the member of the public.
I don't know. He looked like he was jumping up and down. He's excited back there.
No, he's jumping up and down because the meeting's over. He needs to go home.
All right. Then based on the brilliance of Marshall's motion.
I second.
Oh, there we go. So we got a motion and a second. All fair to say. Aye, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thanks. Good to hear your voice, Brandy.
Great to chat. Bye.
Everyone. All right. Enjoy.